one time in the early days of the movement in New York, very, very early days when Prabhupada was just starting, the devotees arranged a program at some hall in New York somewhere, and they advertised as best they could, and about 10 people came or something. And Prabhupada gave a lecture, and the devotees felt bad after that. Almost no one came. There was a big hall that was more or less empty. And he said, and Prabhupada asked him, "Why are you sad?" And he said, "Because no one came." Prabhupada said, "Oh, you did not see the demigods? You did not see Narada Muni?" So who comes? We don't even know. Did you chant? Distributed prasadam? Successful. Now, Om Yanati Manandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Chaksus Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dudati Sahadantikam Vanchakaputruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhai Vasa Patitaram Bhavine Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Nama. Now, Prithu Maharaj, at the beginning of a sacrifice he was going to perform, he dressed himself in the traditional deer skin of the one who is the beneficiary of the sacrifice, or the one whose the sacrifice is performed on his behalf. He had his royal robes put somewhere, and wearing a simple sage's deer skin. And he, before he began the sacrifice, there's a time for preaching. And he instructed the citizens at that time. He instructed them to perform their prescribed duty in a proper way. Perhaps, he begged them, practically speaking. He said, "If you perform your prescribed duty, you'll be helping me. If you perform your prescribed duties, you'll be helping me, your king, because my prescribed duty is to make sure that you perform your prescribed duties. So therefore, if you'd all love me, you please do this. You perform your prescribed duties in Krishna consciousness, perform your occupational duty. In that way, the king, myself, will receive so much piety from you. I'll be so much benefited. And on the other side, if the citizens act sinfully and improperly, oh, I will have to suffer so much. So you please be merciful to me, my dear citizens." Usually we think of the king as the one carrying the royal scepter to rule. And in fact, of course, Prithu Maharaj was so powerful like that, but yet he was such a humble Vaishnava. Although he was, and Prabhupada will say in one of the purports that we'll perhaps read today, that Prithu Maharaj as a Shaktavesh avatar, that means he was a jiva soul empowered by Krishna, but he came from the Vaikuntha planets. He descended from the spiritual world to be the Adiraj, or the king, the original king, who is invested, avesh, Shaktavesh, invested with the power of Krishna for ruling. And his characteristics are quite amazing. No one could defy his order. No one could say no when he ordered something. A real king, but yet so humble. So one of the things that he told them, engage your minds, your words, your bodies, and the results, the fruit of your work, in your occupational duties prescribed by Shastra. And always being open-minded. Don't hold back from surrender to Krishna. You should all render devotional service to the Lord. According to your abilities, we're all individuals, we have our individual gifts, abilities. There's no one who doesn't have some speciality, special talent. So according to one's ability and the occupation in which he is situated, you should engage your service at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full confidence, without reservation. Then you will surely be successful in achieving the final objective of your life. Then he explained, according to how one performs his duties, or what one does in one's life, a different result is given. So one person will perform his duties properly and attain a heavenly delights. And another person will do malicious things and he'll attain in his next life, or even in this life, a hellish situation. So if there is results that one is achieving according to what one does, that means that there is a giver, an awarder of those results. So Pritam Raj, by speaking in this way, showed that there was a Supreme Lord who one should follow very carefully. Why? Because he's the Supreme Lord and we're his tiny parts and parcels. And then he explained, he spoke very strongly about the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas. If we want to maintain this mood of devotional service, one wants to maintain this mood of devotion, then one should be very careful and not to offend the Vaishnavas. Sato nindam parama aparadam vitanute. This is the supreme worst thing that can happen, offending the Vaishnavas, especially Guru Avagya, spiritual master. So why are the Vaishnavas so important? Why are they so dear to Krishna? And the reason is because they are carrying with them, the Brahmins carry with them the shastric knowledge and purity that is required to guide the citizens, guide the state towards a spiritual objective. Without a spiritual objective, then what is life? What is the difference between human life and animal life? If human life is especially meant for a spiritual objective, if the intelligence given in human life is just dissipated with animalistic type of activities, then one really develops an animal consciousness, and then from animal consciousness comes an animal body in the next life. So human life has a specific purpose, and that is directed by the Brahmins who have assimilated the Shastra. And the Vaishnavas carry Krishna in their hearts, and they can give Krishna. So therefore the Brahmins and Vaishnavas are given so much respect, because Namo Brahmanya Devaya Gopamani Taya Cha. They are so dear to Krishna, and Krishna is dear to them. So when these citizens heard this, everyone said, Sadhu, Sadhu, very good, this is wonderful. And then, after they finished, they appreciated how he was, they had so much affection for him. It's so natural to have a ruler, a person. And the king is actually called Naradev. Although he's a human, he's actually, because there's a certain potency that comes along with being a king. And we can see this all the time, that if someone's royalty, even they may be nonsensical, but everyone becomes attracted to them just because of the fact that they're royalty. There's a specific potency that's invested in them, and there's something in our consciousness, in every human being's consciousness, that respects, longs for, and perceives something wonderful in royalty. It's just natural. So they loved him so dearly, because not only was he royalty, he was really good at it. He was thinking always of their welfare. So they were saying, with you as the king. So they were willing to do everything that he wanted out of their loving affection for him. So he was. So they were saying it. Practically speaking, it's as good as God is ruling us. We're living in the kingdom of God because you are here. Because you're invoking this auspiciousness everywhere. So, in chapter 22, as the citizens were praying, they were saying sweet things in reciprocation with Prithu Maharaja's instructions. Suddenly, the four Kumaras, who were as bright as the sun, arrived on the spot. They arrived. Now, actually, earlier, when the Lord was speaking to them, he gave them more or less a blessing. He said, when he was speaking to Prithu Maharaj, he said, "My dear King Prithu, if you continue to protect the citizens according to the instructions of the learned Brahmanic authorities," and he did that, "and as they are received by the disciplic succession by hearing from master to disciple, and if you follow the religious principles laid down by them," he did that, "without attachment to ideas manufactured by mental concoction," he did that, "very soon, then every one of your citizens will be happy and will love you." So that's what the citizens just expressed. "And very soon, you will be able to see such already liberated personalities as the four Kumaras, Sanak, Sanatan, Sanandar, and Sanat Kumar." So now, by the mercy of the Lord and the devotees of the Lord, the four Kumaras, Chatushana, they had come. They had come to fulfill the order of the Lord, the desire of the Lord, and they had come to bring some mercy to Prithu Maharaj. Because the appearance of a holy person is how Krishna shows his mercy to the living entities in this world. There are many ways he shows his mercy, but this is one of the main ways. Because the devotees of the Lord, again, as we mentioned before, the Vaishnavas, they carry with them Krishna's, what? His Kripa Shakti, something of the internal energy which enlivens the heart of the fallen souls and makes... Because we fallen souls in the material world, our hearts are like deserts, very dry, and there's a pain always in the heart. And we try in so many ways to remove that pain, materialistic way. And the result of that is that the pain simply increases. The more we try, the worse it gets. But then, to these poor plants on the desert, pained and drying, then a Vaishnava sprinkles mercy of Krishna Katha upon these plants, and they feel, oh, this is relief. Ihan Mali, Sejchi Nitya Shravanadi Jala. Sprinkling always the water of Shravana. Hearing. So the citizens were speaking to Prithu Maharaj, and lo and behold, the four Kumaras came. Seeing the glowing effulgence of the four Kumaras, who were masters of all mystic powers, they were previously great yogis, jnanis, and then, as we heard about in the third canto, they were converted. Who remembers what was the cause of their going from Brahmanandis to devotees? Does anyone remember? The wind carried the fragrance of the tulsi from the Lord's lotus feet to their nostrils, and their minds, which were fixed in sameness and equanimity, suddenly became agitated in a spiritual way. This is wonderful. And they thought, what is this wonderful thing? And they became devotees. Prabhupada has some wonderful things about the four Kumaras in his purport. We'll just read a little bit. While they were coming to Maharaj Prithu from other planets, they did not come by airplane, but personally. They came by their own power. In other words, these four Kumaras were also spacemen who could travel in space without machines. The special power of the Kumaras mentioned herewith is that whatever place they went would immediately become sinless. How powerful they were. They were, that's why they're compared to the sun. Because the sun, when there's a filthy place, it dries up the filth and purifies it. So the Kumaras were refulgent like the sun and had the potency like the sun had to purify any place. So how did the king and the citizens react? These four refulgent personalities, auspicious, powerful personalities like the sun. Imagine if the sun walked in the room, four suns appeared in the room. That would wake some of us up. Seeing the four Kumaras, Prithu Maharaj was greatly anxious to receive them. He was so happy. Therefore, the king, with all his officers, very hastily got up. As anxiously as a conditioned soul whose senses are immediately attracted by the modes of material nature. So what is the comparison given? They were as happy to see them as... Did anyone catch what the verse said? As conditioned souls whose senses are immediately attracted by the modes of material nature, just like a person who's wandering around somewhere downtown or in some department store or something or in some mall, and you see this and you see that, and then the eye sees something, and then you're pulled over there to take a closer look, and then it forces you in the door. And people are getting dragged around. It's hard to imagine when you think about the analogy, but they're being dragged around by their eyes. Can you imagine being dragged around by your eyes? Well, that's what it's like. Can you imagine being dragged around by your eyes? Can you? It's very intelligent. So, just as eagerly, but it will lead you somewhere wonderful if you consider it in this point, in this frame of reference. That just as materialistic people are captured by the modes of material nature and dragged, attracted to the objects of the senses. So similarly, Prithu Maharaj was attracted in the same way to these great exalted devotees. And Prabhupada says in the purport, this is because that they were of the same quality. Birds of a feather flocked together. So they were spiritual and he was spiritual. He was attracted to that. So one can tell one's modes of material nature by what one is attracted to, as in a conditioned soul is attracted. Prabhupada says, in this world everyone is attracted by a person of the same category. A drunkard is attracted to persons who are also drunkards. So he is attracted to the four Kumaras because he was an exalted Vaishnava. So they immediately received him and made the four Kumaras feel so welcome. And they worshipped. They were influenced by the glories of the sages. They immediately bowed down. So everyone there, all the personages, they were so happy to see the four Kumaras. They received them so nicely. They made them feel welcome. And they worshipped them because they were so powerful. After this, part of the worshipping was that they had washed their lotus feet. So they took, the king took the water which had washed the lotus feet and sprinkled it on his hair, his head. And after, by such respectful action, the king, as an exemplary personality, showed how to receive a spiritually advanced person. The four great sages, even though they looked like they were under 5 years old, they looked like little boys, little boys, 3 years old, 4 years old, like that. But they were elder to Lord Shiva. Because what happened was, they were basically the first personalities that were created by Lord Brahma. And he created them in the Saga Visarga, Visarga creation. When he started his creation, his business was to populate the universe after the raw ingredients and everything was created by the Lord. He had to create the population at this point. So he created the four Kumaras, the first persons he created, and he said, please, I want you to do this service of procreating and increasing the population. And they said, no. No, we don't want to get entangled in material life. We want to remain just like little boys. Not to get entangled or disturbed by these kind of thoughts, so we won't do it. So Brahma became angry because his job is creation, which means when you're creating there's passion involved. So he became angry, and that anger became Lord Shiva. Rudra, anger. So the four great sages were elder to Lord Shiva, and when they were seated on the golden throne, they appeared just like fire blazing on an altar. He was so effulgent. Maharaj Prithu, out of his great gentleness and respect for them, he began to speak with great restraint as follows. So Prithu Maharaj, from text 7 to 16, he's going to speak to the four Kumaras himself. He's going to welcome them. He's going to speak some of their glories, and he's going to ask them for some spiritual knowledge. Because that is the benefit of having a saintly person's association. And one can inquire from him. It's not to just go, ooh. That's not what we're supposed to do. No, we're supposed to inquire, because the saintly persons, by their speaking especially, they can infuse us, our hearts, our dry, desert-like hearts, with bhakti. So he began to speak to them. At first, and actually this is the Vedic culture, that the guests, especially when they're saintly persons, they're received so nicely. Why? Why they show so much appreciation and respect, so they'll be inclined to speak. And that is what the poor, desert-like hearted personalities, that feeling, I am so poor-hearted, I wish they will speak. So they act in such a way that it will encourage the saintly persons to speak. So King Prithu Maharaj began to speak. My dear great sages, auspiciousness personified. And it's true. When some holy person comes, the atmosphere becomes very auspicious, and it becomes very auspicious or the best thing for everyone present. It is very difficult for even the mystic yogis to see you. It is very, very hard or fortunate. One is fortunate when one sees a great, great soul like the four Kumaras. It means one's spiritual piety is coming to fruition. Indeed, you are very rarely seen. I do not know what kind of pious activity I have performed for you to grace me by appearing before me without difficulty. Because usually people have to go so far, go to holy places, they travel, they take days and weeks to walk from Haridwar to up to Badrikashram. Why? Now, of course, people take buses, or wider people, or they go to Vrindavan, they take trains and buses. But previously, people still walk. And why would they go to see holy people? So they could hear from them, because holy people, this is where they live, in holy places. So without even undergoing any difficulties of the pilgrimage, the holy people came to him, so he's thinking, this is certainly a product of some piety that I've done. And I can't even, it's so great, I can't even imagine anything I've done would have brought this to me. Prabhupada explains at the end of his purport to this verse, he says, although Prithu Maharaj's life was full of pious activities, he could not imagine what kind of pious activities he had performed. This is a sign of humility on the part of King Prithu, whose life was so full of pious activities that even Lord Vishnu came to see him and predicted that the Kumaras would also come. He continues, any person upon whom the Brahmins and Vaishnavas are pleased can achieve anything which is very rare to obtain in this world as well as after death. Not only that, but one also receives the favor of the auspicious Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu who accompany the Brahmins and Vaishnavas. Here's Prabhupada's purport. The Brahmins and Vaishnavas are the bearers of Lord Vishnu, the all-auspicious, as confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochanena Shanta Sadaiva Ridayesh Valokayanti Yam Sham Sandaram Achintya Gunasarupam Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. The devotees, out of their extreme love for Govinda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, always carry the Lord within their hearts. The Lord is already in the heart of everyone, but the Vaishnavas and the Brahmanas actually perceive and see him always in ecstasy. Therefore, Brahmins and Vaishnavas are carriers of Vishnu. Wherever they go, Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva, or the devotees of Lord Vishnu are all carried. The four Kumaras are Brahmanas, and they visited the place of Maharaj Prithu. Naturally, Lord Vishnu and his devotees were also present. Under the circumstances, the conclusion is that when the Brahmins and Vaishnavas are pleased with a person, Lord Vishnu is also pleased. This is confirmed by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and his eight stanzas on the spiritual master, Yasya Prasada, Bhagavad Prasada. By pleasing the spiritual master, who is both Brahmana and Vaishnava, one pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased, then one has nothing more to achieve, either in this world or after death. Prithu Maharaj continued, although you are traveling in all planetary systems, people cannot know you. Just as they cannot know the Super Soul, although he is within everyone's heart as the witness of everything. Krishna is there in everyone's heart. Antar Bahir Vastita, Kunti Devi says. But we can't see him. He's inside, he's outside. So no one can know Krishna even though he is everywhere. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva cannot understand the Super Soul. So he's saying, how fortunate I am. You've come. You're so hard to see. You're so hard to understand. And you've come here right before my eyes. I did not even have to wander here and there seeking you. But you have come to me. And you carry the Lord in your heart. That means the Lord is with you and the devotees of the Lord. So how fortunate I am. Prabhupada explains in the purport. See, his vision, Prithu Maharaj's vision was so perfect because he was pure. He could understand the fortune that had arrived uncalled for by the blessings of the Lord before his eyes. Because he was pure, he could understand. And therefore Prabhupada explains in his purport. When Sanatana Goswami went to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he could not be recognized by Chandrasekhar Charja. The conclusion is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in everyone's heart. And his pure devotees, the Vaishnavas, are also traveling all over the world. But those who are under the modes of material nature cannot understand the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of this cosmic manifestation, or the Vaishnavas. It is said, therefore, one cannot see the Supreme Personality of Godhead or a Vaishnava with these material eyes. One has to purify his senses and engage in the service of the Lord. Then gradually one can realize who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and who is a Vaishnava. So, Prithu Maharaj continues to glorify him, the four Kumaras. A person who is not very rich and is attached to family life becomes highly glorified when saintly persons are present in his home. The master and servants who are engaged in offering the exalted visitor water, a sitting place and paraphernalia for reception are glorified, and the home itself is also glorified. So he's saying that everything has become glorified just by your coming to me, for myself and the home and all my servants as well. Here's Prabhupada's purport. Very practical advice here. Materially, if a man is not very rich, he is not glorious. But spiritually, if a man is too attached to family, he is also not glorious. But saintly persons are quite ready to visit the house of a poor man or a man who is attached to material family life. When this happens, the owner of the house and his servants are glorified because they offer water for washing the feet of a saintly person. They offer sitting places and other things to receive him. The conclusion is that if a saintly person goes to the house of even an unimportant man, such a person becomes glorious by the saintly person's blessings. It is therefore the Vedic system that a householder invite a saintly person in his home to receive his blessings. This system is still current in India, and therefore saintly persons, wherever they go, are hosted by the householders, who in turn get an opportunity to receive transcendental knowledge. It is the duty of a sannyasi, therefore, to travel everywhere just to favor the householders, who are generally ignorant of the values of spiritual life. It may be argued that all householders are not very rich, and that one cannot receive great saintly persons or preachers because they are always accompanied by their disciples. If a householder is to receive a saintly person, he has to receive his entourage also. It is said in the Shastras that Devasa Muni was always accompanied by 60,000 disciples. So many? Just imagine how crowded the doorway would have been with all the shoes outside. And if there was a little discrepancy in their reception, he would be very angry and would sometimes curse the host. The fact is that every householder, regardless of his position or economic condition, can at least receive saintly guests with great devotion and offer them drinking water, for drinking water is available always. In India, the custom is that even an ordinary person is offered a glass of water if he suddenly visits and one cannot offer him foodstuffs. If there is no water, then one can offer a sitting place, even if it is on a straw mat. And if one has no straw mat, he can immediately cleanse the ground and ask the guests to sit there. Suppose that a householder cannot even do that. Then with folded hands, he can simply receive the guests saying, "Welcome." And if he cannot do that, then he should feel very sorry for his poor condition and shed tears and simply offer obeisances with his whole family, wife and children. In this way, he can satisfy any guest, even if the guest is a saintly person or a king. So he's saying, again, you've made my house glorious by your coming here. On the contrary, even though full of all opulence and material prosperity, any householder's house, where the devotees of the Lord are never allowed to come in, and where there is no water for washing their feet, is to be considered a tree in which all venomous serpents live. Prabhupada's purport. Wherever he goes, a Vaishnava immediately makes that place a tirtha. Why? A tirtha means a place of pilgrimage. Why? It's because Gadavritta is within his heart. tirtha kurvanti tirthani svantasthena gadabhritaha. Gadabhrita means the one who holds the club of the Lord. He is within the heart. And therefore, he brings the tirtha of the holy place to someone's home. The Vaishnava sannyasis travel all over the world to make every place a place of pilgrimage by the touch of their lotus feet. It is mentioned here that any house which does not receive a Vaishnava in the manner already explained in the previous verse is to be considered the residential quarters of venomous serpents. It is said that around the sandalwood tree, which is a very valuable tree, there is a venomous serpent. Sandalwood is very cold, and venomous serpents, because of their poisonous teeth, are always very warm, and they take shelter of the sandalwood tree to become cooler. Similarly, there are many rich men who keep watchdogs or doormen and put up signs that say, "Do not enter, trespass is not allowed, beware of the dog." Sometimes in Western countries, a trespasser is shot, and there is no crime in such shooting. This is the position of demonic householders, and such houses are considered to be the residential quarters of venomous snakes. The members of such families are no better than snakes, because snakes are very much envious, and when that envy is directed to the saintly persons, their position becomes more dangerous. It is said by Chanakya Pandit that there are two envious living entities, the snake and the envious man. The envious man is more dangerous than a snake, because a snake can be subdued by charming mantras or by some herbs, but an envious person cannot be pacified by any means. Swagatam vo dvijasrishtas. Welcome, O best of the Brahmanas, he said to them. Maharaj Prithu offered his welcome to the four Kumaras, addressing them as the best of the Brahmanas. He welcomed them, saying, "From the beginning of your birth, you strictly observed the vows of celibacy. And although you are experienced on the path of liberation, you are keeping yourself just like small children." Prithu Maharaj inquired from the sages about persons entangled in this dangerous material existence because of their previous actions. He asked them, "Could such persons who are materialists, whose only aim is sense gratification, can such persons be blessed with any good fortune?" Now that's an interesting question. Can persons who are interested only in sense gratification, can they get any good fortune by blessings? Because again, we saw that Prithu Maharaj, because he was pure and not interested in sense gratification, although he was serving as the king, we saw that he was immediately attracted to saintly persons. But materialistic people, as you found out when you were preaching, they weren't attracted to saintly persons. Preaching about, speaking about God, no attraction. So how can people who are not interested due to their material entanglement, how can they become purified and blessed? Prabhupada's purport. And this is warnings. Grihastha life is inauspicious because grihastha means consciousness for sense gratification. And as soon as there is sense gratification, one's position is always full of dangers. This material world is said to be padam padam yad vibhadam natesham, dangerous in every step. Everyone in this material world is struggling hard for sense gratification. Clearing all these points, Prithu Maharaj inquired from the four Kumaras about the fallen conditioned souls who are rotting in this material world due to their past or inauspicious activities. Is there any possibility for their auspicious spiritual life? In this verse, the word indriyatartha vedinam is very significant. It indicates persons whose only aim is to satisfy the senses. They are also described as patitanam, or fallen. Only one who stops all activities for sense gratification is considered to be elevated. Another significant word is swakamavi. One becomes fallen by dint of his own past bad activities. Everyone is responsible for his fallen condition because of his own activities. When activities are changed to devotional service, one's auspicious life begins. Prithu Maharaj continued, how can they be benefited, blessed? My dear sirs, there is no need to ask about your good and bad fortune because you are always absorbed in spiritual bliss. The mental concoction of the auspicious and inauspicious does not exist in you. So in the material world, when we see some, how are you, is this okay? But actually, no matter what materialists say, they may say, this is going well and this isn't going so bad. My car is really working well, but my knee hurts. I just got a good score in golf last week. And on the other side, my pet dog died or something. Good and bad in the material world is actually an illusion. Why? Because whether it's good or bad, it is all bad. It entangles us further in material life. When we get a good golf score, we're entangled further. When we lament that our dog died, we're entangled further. When we make money, we're entangled further. When we spend money or lose money, we're entangled further. There's only inauspiciousness for a person who does not live in the mercy of Krishna. And for a devotee, on the other hand, whatever happens contrary to what happens to non-devotees is always auspicious because he's in the hand of Krishna. So this consciousness is real devotional consciousness, but it is very hard to achieve. If one develops this consciousness, actually it's possible on the stage of Bhava, or just before Bhava maybe. It makes one eligible to go back to the spiritual world, Jivatiyo Mukti Pade Sadayabhak, to see Krishna's mercy everywhere. Yomam Pashyati Savatra Savam Chamai Pashyati. So for the four Kumaras, who were such exalted devotees, there was no need to ask them how everything was going because everything was wonderful because they were fully Krishna conscious. Text 15. I am completely assured that personalities like you are the only friends for persons who are blazing in the fire of material existence. I therefore ask you how in this material world we can very soon achieve the ultimate goal of life. So that's the second question. Similar to the first question, how can a materially entangled person be benefited? After all, he's materially entangled because he wants that. So how can he be spiritually benefited? Because he doesn't want that. That was the first question. And the second question is, how can we soon achieve the ultimate goal of life? So we also see that in ourselves. We have, speak for myself, so many material conditioning, so many material desires. So how can I be benefited? And on the other hand, how not only can we be benefited, but we can soon achieve the ultimate goal of life. So this is the question. Here's Prabhupada's purport. When saintly persons go from door to door to seize those who are materially engaged, or too much materially engaged, it is to be understood that they do not go to ask anything for their personal benefit. It is a fact that saintly persons go to materialists just to give real information of the auspicious. Maharaj Prithu was assured of this fact. Therefore, instead of wasting time by asking the Kumaras about their welfare, he preferred to inquire from them whether he could soon be relieved from the dangerous position of material existence. This was not, however, a question personally for Prithu Maharaj. It was raised to teach the common man that whenever one meets a great saintly person, one should immediately surrender unto him and inquire about relief from the material pains of existence. Therefore, Narottama Das Thakur says, Samsara Vishanale Divanishihila Hiya Jale Dudaitena Kainan Pai. We are always suffering from material pangs. And our hearts are burning. But we cannot find any way out of it. The materialistic person can also be called a tapasi, which means someone who is always suffering from material pains. One can get rid of these material pains only when he takes shelter of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. This is also explained by Narottama Das Thakur, Golokera Premadana Harinama Sankirtan Ratina Janmilo Kene Tai. Narottama Das Thakur regretted that he did not pursue his attraction for the transcendental vibration of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. The conclusion is that all persons in this material world are suffering from material pains. And if one wants to get rid of them, he must associate with saintly persons, pure devotees of the Lord, and chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That is the only auspicious way for materialistic persons. So Prabhupada is kindly answering the question. We don't have to wait even to hear what the Kumaras will say. And then the last verse we will read, that is spoken by Pritam Raj, the last thing he's going to say to the four Kumaras. Then the Kumaras begin speaking and we'll continue, we'll hear. What in the world will they say? Or what out of this world will they say? We'll hear that starting tomorrow. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always anxious to elevate the living entities who are His parts and parcels. And for their spiritual benefit, the Lord travels all over the world in the form of self-realized persons like you. And we'll read from the end of Prabhupada's Purpura, halfway. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed by the Lord that there are many devotees. But a devotee who is fully conversant in the Vedic conclusion is very dear to him. Everyone is trying to elevate himself to the highest position according to his mentality. The karmis, who have a bodily concept of life, try to enjoy sense gratification to the utmost. The jnani's idea of the highest position is merging into the effulgence of the Lord. So everyone's trying to enjoy according to their mind, their mentality, according to their concept of life. Everyone tries to be happy and enjoy. So the karmis, bodily consciousness. The jnani's, spiritual consciousness, but impersonally spiritual. But a devotee's highest position is... But a devotee's highest position is in preaching all over the world the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the devotees are actually the representatives of the Supreme Lord, and as such, they travel all over the world directly as Narayan, because they carry Narayan within their hearts and preach His glories. The representative of Narayan is as good as Narayan, but he is not to conclude, like the Mayavadis, that he has become Narayan. Generally, a sannyasi is addressed as Narayan by the Mayavadis. Even in Vrindavan, you'll see each other, Mayavadi, sannyasi, Namo Narayan. Their idea is that simply by taking sannyas, one becomes equal to Narayan or becomes Narayan himself. The Vaishnava conclusion is different, as stated by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Shakshad Hari Tvainasamasta Sastre Uktastata Bhavad It Atta Eva Sadbi Kintu Prabhuya Pri Evatasya Vande Gurusri Charanarabindam. According to Vaishnava philosophy, a devotee is as good as Narayan, not by becoming Narayan, but by becoming the most confidential servant of Narayan. Indeed, Shakshad means directly Hari Tvena. Shakshad Hari Tvena Samastastase. So Shakshad directly Hari, the Lord. Tvena means in quality. Not the same of the Lord, but he's one with the Lord in quality. That means that Krishna is working through him because of his purity. He's qualitatively one with the Lord, and he's not contaminated. So qualitatively one, he's achieved that platform. So such great personalities who are confidential servitors of Narayan act as spiritual masters for the benefit of the people in general. And as such, a spiritual master who is preaching the glories of Narayan should be accepted as Narayan and be given all respects due to him. Not as Narayan directly, but as representative of Narayan, because he is kutosto chara sabhabhutani akshara. Akshara kutosto means they are one with him, with the Lord in desire. Dva ima purusha loke, there are two kinds of living entities. Chara, the perfect and the imperfect. The imperfect are all the living entities in this world, and the perfect ones are one with Krishna because they've given up their independent desires, so they're one with him in desire. And therefore, Vande Gorosi Charananavinda. Okay, thank you very much, Hare Krishna. So tomorrow we'll hear the reply to those questions. By the Kumaras will be hearing the reply for the remainder of the week. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Kutumaras ki jai, Pokumaras ki jai, Lord Bhaktivinoda ki jai.